Let us pray. God of light, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our scripture today is from John 21, verses 1 through 19. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it, and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said to this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me."
You'll notice that the sermon title was, "Who Are You, Lord?" That was because, so I don't know if you know how the lectionary works. Sometimes there are two lectionary texts that are each so juicy and meaty that you can't decide which one. So if you have to decide early in the week, you pick one, and then as the week goes on, you're like, "No, I want this one." So that's what happens. The original idea was to preach from Acts, which would have been Paul, Saul, Saul's road on the road to Damascus when he's struck by the blinding light, his conversion experience. But instead, we are in John in chapter 21, picking up from where we left off last week. You remember last week, we had the disciples in Jerusalem, locked in a room, afraid, the turmoil going on outside, inside, internally, in each of them, as well as in their community, behind locked doors. And then Jesus appears in the middle and breathes on them. the breath of life, pneuma. And I said that it was like a new creation story, because you remember the creation story in Genesis, the universe is in turmoil, it's chaos, and the Spirit of the Lord hovers above it, breathes on it, and order is established, right? That's the creation story in Genesis. And you see parallels here. Last week's reading ends verses 30 and 31. This is hard to read. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. That's a perfect ending, right? That's a conclusion. And yet, here we are, chapter 21. It is believed by scholars that this last chapter was written afterwards by somebody from the community. He, she, they have a very clear understanding of the theology of this community that the Gospel of John comes from. But if you read it in the original Greek, there are stylistic differences that indicate that perhaps this was written by somebody else, but still somebody from the community. And what we have here is the disciples are back in Galilee. Remember last week? In Jerusalem, where the whole crucifixion events happened, and now they have gone back home to Galilee. They are on the shores of the Sea of, what this gospel calls the Sea of Tiberias. That's the Sea of Galilee, which is what we're probably more familiar with. And Peter decides, let's go fishing, where I'm going fishing, and they all decide to join him. He wants to go back to the way it was. The confusion is still in their heads. They don't know what to do. And what happens when they're in that fit of confusion? There's Jesus. So it's nighttime. They've been fishing all night. You've heard this story before. Fishing all night. They haven't caught anything. And suddenly, this guy on the shore calls out to them, children. That should be their first hint that it's Jesus, right? Who's going to call them children? Children, have you caught any fish? And of course, they haven't, and he advises them to throw the nets over to the other end, where they pull in a huge catch. 153 fish, it tells us. At some point in this exchange, the beloved disciple recognizes it's the Lord. And Peter, as we know, impetuous Peter's like, oh, I'm off, right? He throws on his jacket and jumps into the water to run to the shore. We've seen this in the crucifixion, in the resurrection story, right? At the tomb, Mary is there first, and then she comes back and tells the disciples that the tomb is empty. Peter and the beloved disciple foot race to the tomb. When they get there, Peter gets there first and runs right in, sees that it's empty, and runs right back out. John looks in, goes in, and knows right away what's happened, right? He knows. So there's this, and here's the same thing on the boat, right? Peter, John knows that it's the Lord. Look, it's the Lord. And Peter takes it and runs with it. There's action and contemplation, two dynamic and necessary parts of our faith. This whole chapter is full of flashbacks to things that have happened during the ministry of Jesus here on earth. Just the idea of Jesus being on the shoreline and inviting them back to breakfast, a breakfast that is composed of bread and fish. That sounds familiar, right? Jesus feeding 5,000 people earlier in his ministry with five loaves and two fish. And here we are again, five loaves and two fish. This is an abundant God, can make things happen and come out of nowhere. We don't expect them to be, they are there. Right. Another flashback. So Jesus appears on the shoreline, and it takes them a minute to realize, who is this nut on the shore who's calling out to us? They don't recognize him. Flashback, Mary at the tombside when Jesus appears to her and she thinks he's the gardener. Again, we read these stories and we think, oh, how could she not have recognized Jesus? Was her grief so great? How do they not recognize Jesus? How does somebody call us children and we don't recognize who that is? It's easy for us to look back and think, how could that possibly be? And yet, here's this story. These guys thought Mary was crazy when she said the tomb was empty, right? Sandra and I have a lot of laughs over this. But because they think she's crazy when she comes in and tells them that. She doesn't know what she's talking about. And now here's the same thing happening to them. They don't recognize the Lord right in their presence or 100 yards away. So don't delude yourselves into thinking that Jesus isn't appearing to you all the time and you don't recognize him. I'm embarrassed to tell you this story. Wednesday afternoon, I was sitting on the bench out front, ready to do story hour for the kids, right? I advertised it on Facebook in the I Love Petaluma page and with the Mommy's group. It was advertised, right? We gave out flyers the day before. Guess how many kids showed up? None. Guess who did show up? Jesus. No. Well, in a way, a lady came, obviously a little disturbed, but we talked for about 40 minutes, and I will admit to you, beloveds, that I was a little irritated with her because the conversation just wasn't, she wasn't really listening to what I was saying. I couldn't really make any sense out of what she was saying. It was frustrating. But Jesus was there in that minute, in that moment. And I didn't recognize him. I recognize him now for all that, for all the good that does, except that it's opened my eyes to be more aware. Jesus is in our presence all the time. Which brings us to the next one. Jesus asks Peter three times, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Does that sound like a reflection of something? Peter denied Jesus three times. Peter says, I will never deny you, Lord. I will never leave your side. Weren't you one of his followers? Oh, no, I don't know what you're talking about. Three times. And now Jesus gives him an opportunity to redeem himself. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. We see this flashback in relation to the original story. The original story is not nice. Peter denying Jesus three times after spending 3 years in ministry with him, learning everything that he has to teach, following him, healing with him, feeding with him, and denies him. But now Jesus is forgiving. So when I deny Jesus, in a way, by not recognizing him and that lady on Wednesday, I know I am forgiven. I didn't recognize, but there are always more opportunities. We follow a loving and forgiving God. Right? All right. What are the other parallels? I think that's enough. You get it. There are flashbacks in this story about the whole ministry, right? And if you go back to the opening of John, another creation story. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it said, and it talks more about the Word coming into the world and facing the darkness. But the darkness did not overcome it. So we can talk about the darkness of hunger, the feeding of the 5,000. We can talk about the darkness of denying God's presence in the world. The darkness of that. The darkness of, what was the other one? Oh, of not recognizing God in the world. There's all that darkness. But the darkness does not overcome the light. Jesus is the light. We live in the light, and it's for us to bring that light back out. I feel like I say that to you every week, right? It's for us to bring that light back out. But that's the core of what we're doing. We have heard this gospel message, we have received this good news, and now we share the good news. Amen?